Would you follow along in your Bibles, please, as I read to you from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed. As has been announced for several weeks, this morning we are having a service of healing. And quite frankly, it's a challenge to prepare a message for this morning because there are so many different attitudes, so many different outlooks where the subject of divine healing is concerned. There are some people who say that it is God's will for all of us to be in perfect health all the time. A theology to which I do not subscribe, because that theology does not allow for the death of any of us. And unless Jesus comes, we're not getting out of here alive. There are some who proclaim if you ask for divine healing and you're not healed, it's your fault. Because you don't believe, because there's sin in your life, and it's your fault if you don't get healed. That's also a theology to which I do not subscribe. I understand that God requires obedience of us, and that He requires us to live according to His Word and to trust Him. But so many times in the New Testament when Jesus healed people, they had little, if anything, to do with the healing. He raised dead people who had nothing to do with their healing. He healed people who didn't know what had happened in their lives and express little, if any, faith. So what do you say to a congregation on a morning when you announce we're going to follow the directions of James and lay hands on the sick and anoint them with oil and pray that God would heal them? I've chosen this passage of Scripture to talk to you about a house built on solid rock, and to talk about storms. Storms know no boundaries. They play no favorites. And if you listened as I read to you this morning, you heard Matthew quoting Jesus saying the same thing about each house and each incident. Storms came to both. There was wind. There was rain. There was flood. Each of the houses that Jesus talked about experienced the exact same things. Each house looked secure. No doubt each house was built out of quality material with quality workmanship. But the rains came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew. And we want to make storms the predictor of life. And we give it one of two predictions. If a storm comes, there's one prediction that it's a test and it proves that we're living for God. There's another look that storms come, and that person is not living for God. Storms come in my life, it's a test. I'm living for God. Storms come in your life, it's proof you're not living for God, and God's trying to get your attention. And we put those definitions on storms. There's something about us that wants to determine the cause of storms. But Jesus wants us to see, very, very simply, the kind of foundation that the lives are built on is what makes the difference. Now, in Palestine, if you were a builder, you had to think ahead. Because you could find a place to build a house in the summertime that looked very picturesque, was shady, was a great spot that you could build a house. But in reality, you had chosen a dry stream bed. And in winter, when the winter rains came and the winter storms came, that was not a place to have a house. Because soon that low-lying area that looked so peaceful and so choice a few months ago is now a place where there's swollen streams and raging waters, and it's not the place that you would want to have your house built. And if the builder was short-sighted, he might well have built his house in that dried-up bed of a river. And when winter came, his house would disintegrate. And another thing that you might do is, even if you didn't pick that location for your house, there was a temptation to simply smooth out the sand and build right on top of the sand. That faced the same problem when the storms came. There was no foundation. So Jesus says a wise builder, first of all, chooses a location out of the path of the storm, and then prepares the foundation, scrapes the sand away, gets down to bedrock, and puts the house on that spot. Only the house whose foundations are firm can withstand the storm. Only a life whose foundations are sure can stand the test. There's a difference in the way people prepare for storms and trials. Storms reveal only the depth of our preparation. A wise person represents those who put Jesus' words into practice. They're building to withstand anything. They're building to withstand anything. Those who pretend to have faith, who have a merely intellectual commitment, or who enjoy Jesus in small doses, are foolish builders. When the storms of life come, their structures fool no one, above all, not God. What we choose to build on will determine whether or not we remain standing after the storm. In order to reiterate the truth of this passage, let me do it one more time. The house is representative of our lives. The foundation speaks of our choices. The storms are tests that come our way. And the key to survival is verse 24, where Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, when the storms come, I've been thinking this week a lot, and I know you have as well, about the Grisco family. 4 surgeries this week. More to come for Keith. And every time I go in the hospital, and I've been there every day for the last 20 days, every time I go in the hospital, Lori blesses me with her faith and her confidence and her trust in God. She hasn't heard her husband's voice in almost 3 weeks. But you'd never know it. Those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, they'll stand when the storms come. In Japan and in Los Angeles, houses are built to withstand earthquakes. The tragedy of places like Haiti, which still hasn't recovered, shows us our human preparation is so frail and feeble and unable to protect us against earthquakes. You know that in 2008 I went to Mississippi for 5 days on a mission trip as part of my ordination work. And we were there 5 years after Katrina, and still the scars were there. And the woman whose house we went to work on hadn't lived in her home in 5 years because of that storm. In October of 2012, Hurricane Sandy roared up the Atlantic coast, and you can still see the scars, particularly in New England, from that storm. There is only one place we can stand. And that place is Jesus Christ, the rock. Storms, finally, let us come back to the rock.